The Holy Gospel lesson for today is found in the 14th chapter of the book of John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus, speaking to his disciples as he's preparing them for his own death, says to them, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let's bow our heads for a prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, you ask us to be a people who are prepared. You gather us as your servants. You gather us as your friends. You gather us as your family. You gather us as your brothers and sisters. We ask, Lord, you now send your Spirit upon us, that it might grant me the words that I might speak, and each of us hear the ears that we may hear, the meditations you've prepared to help us for the future. We ask these many things in Christ's name. Amen. First Sunday in Advent. How exciting is that? Anything new in anybody's life this week? You all made it through Thanksgiving, it looks. You got smiles on your faces. We're full of family and joy, or the change, the new normal that we heard about in the prayer of the church, or the prayer of the day. Life has changed for everyone. But what is it that we really expect and anticipate? What is it that we really want or need? What might it be that God's trying to prepare us for? All good questions, and all something that we wrestle with all the time. We light one candle, which means we're only beginning the process of getting ready for the coming of the Christ child again. Always new, always the same, always different, always strange. And Christ comes to us today and challenges us to be prepared. We sang in the first hymn, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns for lowly exiles here until the Son of God appears. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel, shall come to thee, O Israel. It's hard for us to imagine, but God already knows the end of the story. He always knows the next chapter in our life. He's already placed in motion all the things that we need. Imagine dear old Jeremiah staying back in Israel as the children of Israel are carried off to slavery in Babylon. And he explains to them, do not fear. Do not think that anything is normal. Do not take for granted whose you are and who you are. And he sends us into the same kind of world today, doesn't he? Anybody's world this Thanksgiving the same with COVID around as it was last year? Everything we do has got the taint of COVID. I gathered with our family, and just hugging our kids in the back of our heads is, how close do we get? Have I spent more than 15 minutes with the children? How long? How close? Who's the new family member? What's the collection of bubbles that are gathered in this room? And what do we really know? Except that we know to trust God and to be as safe as possible in all situations. I would guess that most of us know more people hospitalized or compromised with COVID this November than we knew last November. We certainly had more funerals of people COVID compromised. But life continues to go on. And God doesn't tell us to prepare for a new normal. Matter of fact, He always prepares us for a new abnormal, that life is changing around us all the time. With COVID in our midst, it's almost as though we too are exiled in a world of familiarity, and yet everything is strange. As I listen to your stories and the people on our prayer list and the people that we've contacted and touched, it's always got a form of newness, a form of challenge, and a form of opportunity. And God tells his people Israel that even when everything else is upside down and you're being captives in a strange land, to go and have hope and prepare for the best. He tells us not to worry about the short term, but he tells his families there in Babylon, take wives, take husbands, build houses, prepare for the future, because I want you to be a strong and healthy nation when you come back home. What if that's what he's telling us today? What if that's what he's challenging us as a church, to go back and re-look at our roots, our histories, what brought us to this point in time, and God's asking us to be prepared for the future? What should the church be doing that we have lost track of over the course of the years? What are the opportunities that are out there that we somehow or other have dropped the ball on? Oh, we can be pretty tough on dear old Ben. The Steelers, I understand, are losing some exorbitant figure, 30-4, 30-7, or something amazing. Should they just pack up and go home, walk off the field, throw their hands up and say, ah, it's only a game? Or should they stay out there as in last week and they keep struggling and struggling and coming back and eventually getting ahead only to lose it at the end? But can we ever lose if we're faithful? Can we ever fail if we're doing God's work? But what is it God wants us to do? What is this, O come, Emmanuel, and make us comfortable and keep us the same? Or is it, O come, Emmanuel, and do with us as you would for the good of your kingdom? This past weekend, I had a funeral of a friend in York, Pennsylvania, that we've met since we were down there with our kids. His wife, who was born in 1975, so she was just a young lady, passed away. They have a 20-year-old son, and he's had battles with cancer, and most of his throat is gone, and his jaw, as he's had throat cancer pretty severely, and she wasn't the one that was supposed to die. They'd all been expecting Marshall to take the hit. As we gathered there, about 100 people in a great big fire hall, so we had some social distancing. But my wife and I looked at each other and said, we're one of maybe 20 people that have face masks. And yet I would guess there are more than that number of people carrying guns and concealed weapons and unconcealed weapons. But that's another story. By the way, just out of curiosity, how many people died from gunfire, from shootings last year or in 2020? Any thoughts on that? Less than 20,000. How many died by COVID? Over 600,000. What's the real threat? But back to the story. As we gathered and went through the funeral service, and we prayed the Lord's Prayer, the Apostles' Creed, said the words of faith, experienced the service of the burial and celebration of life, Colleen says to me afterwards, you know, John, probably less than a quarter of those people there had any clue what the Lord's Prayer was. They didn't know the story of the Apostles' Creed. They were all tourists, even though they had it written in front of them on their bulletins. If that's true in this family of faith, what's our job? What is it if we, as the people of God, aren't the ones that are out there proclaiming God's grace and helping people to know and hear about the God who loves them and comes to them as a babe in a manger and the Savior of the world? What happens when those kids that we're talking about that don't know that, or the adults, because the room was full of adults that are probably had not any kind of formal training in what it was to be people of faith. What happens if that's our mission field? Because I would guess the same's true in most of our communities. It's amazing when we have a confirmation class and we ask them to say the Lord's Prayer and they look at us like, what's that? Or read the Bible and they don't have a clue what that book is. Or tell us your favorite story, and it's something that Disney did. What happens if we are God's people being called to a time and place where we reacquaint ourselves and our neighbors and our friends and the strangers in our midst with the fact that we are the body of Christ for the world? Remember, as we take this element, do you really see yourself as being Christ? The presence of Christ for the world? The image of Christ for those out there that don't know him? The believers in a God who says to us, you're mine and I'll never let you go, that I already know what the end of the story is? O come, Emmanuel. What happens if Christ is saying, I'm sending you as my presence, as my brothers and sisters, co-heirs with Christ, into a world that desperately needs to know that we're connected. In, with, and under this element is the presence of Christ, which becomes part of who we are. And as we gather together as God's people, he sends us into a world that the world does not understand us, doesn't have a clue who we are or what we're about. But maybe it's time for another reformation within the life of the church. We prayed for years to get what is it that would take us to push us outside of the building. And suddenly we find ourselves on the streets and afraid to move about freely. We hear of gun violence and shootings. We hear about malls and parades being trampled down. We hear about people driving into crowds, using mobs as creative ways of robbing stores. But that's just the sensational part of life. I still believe that Christ comes to us in the still small voice, not just any voice, but our voices. Our presence, our activities, our awarenesses. And it may be the critical moment where we have to be those people that are retelling the story about a God who loves us, who comes as a babe in the manger, who comes as the body of Christ, and who sends us into the world that others can know his story. O come, Emmanuel, for unto us a child is born, unto us a Savior is given. Jesus promising, I'll be with you always, even to the end of life itself. All those activities are not for our own strengthening, but they're very possibly for our strengthening of the world. We're all called. We all have gifts, we all have abilities, and as we light the one candle of the Advent wreath, and then the second one, and the third one, and the fourth one, and we celebrate on Christmas Eve the presence of God with us here and now, may we not forget that God is present with us always. Wherever we go, whatever we say, whatever we do. And maybe we need to be the ones now that are raising the alarm, raising the awareness that Christ has a plan for each of our lives. And that's to make a difference in those people we pray for, those people we care about, those people that are closest to us, who don't have a clue who Jesus is. And maybe the only way they experience Jesus today is through us. Let's personalize it through you. How are you doing? Are you feeling the excitement of the coming of Christ? The excitement of the coming of Christmas? The joy to the world, a Savior is born, and he's born for us today. May we as God's people accept the challenge. For that room of 100 people last Saturday or yesterday, becomes our responsibility so that they might be able to see the Christ that's in us, the Christ that was in me, the Christ that's in you. And hopefully and prayerfully, now the Christ that's in them. God sees the end of the chapter. God tells the children of Israel, this is only a period of temporary exile, and I want you to be stronger whenever you get back. May we hear those words for ourselves as we prepare for the celebration of a Savior for unto us is born today. God bless you all. It's exciting times, great opportunities. May we not grow weary of the fact that God has a job for us to do. It's like cleaning up our rooms as we were little kids. He's already seen where the toys go. He's already seen what happens in the room. And he's sending us out there now to take care of the business at hand, which is letting other people know his love for them. And that love is coming through us. Amen.